This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India show.
In October 2020, the lights went out in parts of Maharashtra, including Mumbai, the commercial capital of India. Cyber activity by Chinese actors was later found to be responsible by cybersecurity groups. Then around February 2021, Chinese interference was found in the IT systems of Bharat Biotech and Serum Institute, the manufacturers of Covaxin and Covishield respectively. Cyber activity with Chinese links is especially worrying given the ongoing border tensions. However, China is not alone in snooping around our cyberspace. Elements from Russia, North Korea, Iran, and even the USA have been detected. On Independence Day last year, Prime Minister Modi promised a new cybersecurity policy at the Red Fort. Additionally, experts say that a data protection law is crucial for cybersecurity, one which we still don't have. The Personal Data Protection Bill 2019 is being analyzed by a joint parliamentary committee. The bill should protect personal data and also set up a data protection authority. Hi, I am Surya Tapa Mukherjee, hosting this episode of the Suno India show. I spoke to Ramanjit Singh Cheema, the Asia Policy Director and Senior International Counsel at Access Now, which is an international digital rights organization. He discussed the various breaches in our cybersecurity and how India needs to get a handle on this problem as soon as possible.
There have been reports of cyber espionage by China in India. And there have also been reports about certain breaches with the Bharat Biotech and Serum Institute, which are making the vaccines that we are using currently. How vulnerable are we compared to other countries?
There's been, in fact, a lot of research and recent announcement that India is one of the most cyber-targeted countries in the world. And obviously, you need to take some of those reports with a pinch of salt because they're often made by cybersecurity vendors and companies who are trying to sell cybersecurity services. But the general recognition in the space is India is actually a significant major cyber target. Perhaps one of the most active targets in the Asia-Pacific region and probably amongst the top countries targeted for cyber attacks globally. One of the problems you have is India, unlike many of those other countries, actually does not have clear legal requirements for reporting cybersecurity attacks and data breaches. India, because it has not yet passed a data protection law, it is not required for companies to report if they've seen a data breach. And that's often an important, easy way to be able to find out if a cyber attack or cyber incident has happened. You've similarly seen limited cyber incident reporting under the existing Information Technology Act. And you've seen publicly also revelations of significant massive data breaches, particularly in the financial sector and other sectors, nearly, you know, every couple of weeks for the last few months. So right now, India is actually significantly at risk when it comes to data protection, data security, and cybersecurity. Perhaps one of the most targeted and vulnerable countries globally. And it is even more concerning because the legal infrastructure to help combat, police, and oversee this is extraordinarily weak. As I've indicated earlier, a lack of coordination or clarity on these different agencies, and also a lack of data protection mechanisms that could reduce or limit some of the vulnerabilities or data that could be exposed. And again, a lack of consequences and reporting when an incident takes place.
The Mumbai blackout occurred 4 months after the clash with Chinese troops in the Galwan Valley. Analysts say the two could be connected. Do you see an increase in cyber attacks being used as a part of battle strategy?
I think you will see the increased use of cyber activities, whether it's cyber espionage, the detection and exploitation of vulnerabilities to, you know, more aggressive cyber operations, some of them even like targeting critical infrastructure or military assets in increased way for sure. That's a general unfortunate trend between nation states. And that's why you are seeing also increased diplomatic moves for more international legal developments and norms around state cyber behavior. Just last week, the UN General Assembly adopted a report on responsible state behavior in cyberspace published by the UN open-ended working group on, you know, ICT use. And India was active in that group, essentially on that international law applies online, including regulating cyber offensive operations. And it's part of this continuing international diplomatic discussion and dance, essentially, on ensuring that international law and diplomatic standards on peace apply to state cyber behavior as well. And given that India and China share a common land border, have active military conflict, have active, constant probing efforts by their respective militaries and their national security establishments against each other, we are unfortunately likely to see more activity, particularly if we don't see further diplomatic settlement or agreements between Indian and Chinese government actors, including on cyber matters. For example, you will note that there's very little public discussion about cyber offensive operations or indeed cyber standards between Indian and Chinese government actors. Even the United States and China have had more public conversations or diplomatic agreements on this, despite the fact that they are very aggressively engaged in operations against each other to the level of perhaps a new Cold War, as some people have feared. But you don't see such discussions or confidence building between Indian and Chinese actors right now. And that's particularly troubling since we share the common land border and an active military conflict. And also, our ICT economies are quite deeply intertwined and linked.
A lot of our hardware for the power sector, for our rail system, comes from China. So does that make us especially vulnerable to that country in terms of cyber attack?
So as one of the most active internet user bases in the world, and one that depends on a hardware supply chain that is pretty linked to Chinese companies and Chinese actors, that and that can, and also not just hardware, we have active Chinese tech sector involvement in our tech companies, in our financial tech players. You have major investments from Chinese companies and Chinese tech entrepreneurs in Indian tech companies. That's a realistic fact of life, that India has significant involvement of People's Republic of China linked entities and actors in our hardware and software supply chains. And therefore, we need a cybersecurity strategy and a cybersecurity threat stance that recognizes that and that understands and engages with it. You probably will never be able to completely get rid of that involvement of Chinese hardware and software players in the Indian ecosystem. Indeed, no country can. Any cybersecurity strategy we create on that needs to recognize that reality and engage with it in an effective way.
The Indian government does not publish information on reported breaches by China. And does this approach help or harm the public?
India, for example, has never very publicly or clearly attributed a cyber attack or cyber offensive operation targeting it. The stuff that tends to hit the press more often has been the sort of activity by the different, sometimes potentially state-linked or otherwise vigilante cyber armies of Pakistan and India targeting each other's websites. You see very little public disclosure or statements, leave alone official attribution towards cyber offensive activity by actors potentially linked with the People's Republic of China or by other groups. What you have seen are private sector attribution. That means attribution by private sector companies or by cyber experts, noting, for example, the activity involving Chinese advanced persistent threat actors in India, but also activity by groups, for example, in North Korea. You might see sometimes guidance from some government actors to private sector entities or critical infrastructure providers, but it's very rare. And in fact, I'd struggle. Think of a moment when you've seen, for example, a Ministry of External Affairs spokesperson officially noting attribution of a cyber attack or cyber espionage activity to another state and saying that the Indian government expected something different or that, you know, there would be consequences to that government. Whereas you have seen such pronouncements and statements from the United States, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, many other Western states, some states even in this region such as Singapore and even Australia. You see less so from India. And why that's the case is something we need to perhaps probe more into. But it's quite striking that we often talk about the need for more responsible state cyber behavior and more norms on, you know, cyber activity, but we seem very careful to the point of unwilling to talk about or put responsibility on cross-border cyber operations targeting the Indian government or Indian citizens. Again, remember that there's been an uptake in cyber offensive activity across the last 5 years. So in a sense, prior to 2014-15, when, you know, the UPA government was in charge and when you had the NDA, there was less evidence of cyber offensive activities and perhaps also less volume of them taking place. You did see the Snowden revelations and you did see public statements from the Indian government during that time. Obviously, diplomatically delicate statements, but there were statements issued. Not so much afterwards. And what's more striking perhaps is that under the NDA government, the issue about cyber capabilities and cyber offensive operations is actually more publicly noted by government actors. You've had statements about how India needs to develop its cyber capabilities. You've seen policy commitments to creating cyber offensive units within the Indian Armed Forces and a creation of a new cyber command within as a joint forces command within the Indian Armed Forces under the new Chief of Defense Staff. You've seen even the pronouncement from Prime Minister Modi in our last Independence Day speech around the fact that India would create a new updated cybersecurity strategy. And you've seen very few official statements to practically none from senior security officials or foreign affairs officials, leave alone ministers from the Modi government around the recent cyber attacks. Even, for example, the recent cyber incidents involving the power sector, you saw statements from the power minister and from, you know, ministers in that space, but nothing from the National Cybersecurity Coordinator, nothing from the Foreign Affairs Minister or the Cybersecurity Coordinator, an official who reports to National Security Advisor Ajit Doval, nor any statements from the Defense Minister. So it seems that at the high level of political responsibility within the current NDA government, there seems to be some lack of certainty or at least lack of willingness to publicly take up cyber issues and talk about it aggressively. And in that context, I thought I'd also leave you with this fact that India is perhaps the only major global cyber player. It's the second largest internet user base, and it's one of the actors very active on these issues in UN bodies. But that doesn't actually have a named cyber ambassador or a senior politician or global diplomat in charge of cyber issues. We have a joint secretary in charge of cyber matters in the Ministry of External Affairs, but we don't have a senior ambassador or representative on cyber issues, unlike Russia, unlike Australia, unlike Germany, unlike France, unlike the United States, and in fact, indeed, unlike the United Kingdom as well.
Okay, so what are the protections currently in place against cyber attacks and espionage overall?
So it's a challenging one because there are many different mechanisms. Whether they're effective, of course, is a different question. Firstly, we do have government agencies that operate on matters about cybersecurity policy. You have, in fact, the problem might be that you have a plethora of them, and it's not clear who is doing what and who's funded to do what and do they coordinate. You have the Computer Emergency Response Team for India, CERT-IN, that's perhaps the longest standing body. It's an agency established by the Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology, Union Government, whose job is to monitor cyber incidents, provide proactive guidance, and respond to cyber incidents within the public sector, but also to the private sector. In addition to that, you have the National Critical Information Protection Center, a legal body set up partly by the Information Technology Act, again run by the Union Ministry for Electronics and IT, the IT Act, that is. Although the National Critical Information Infrastructure Protection Center, the NCIIPC, is actually run by the Indian spy agency, the National Technical Resource Organization, India's NSA. So essentially, that intelligence service runs the Critical Infrastructure Protection Center. And their job, technically, is to provide cybersecurity assistance to critical infrastructure. Say, any agency, say, in the electrical space, utilities, power, water, telecom services, who are critical infrastructure designated under the IT Act and elsewhere. You then also have new agencies under the Ministry of Home Affairs on combating and preventing cybercrime. And then you have often cybersecurity teams at the state government level, cybercrime police units at the state government level as well. For example, Maharashtra, Hyderabad, even Delhi have cyber cells and economic offenses wing that deal with cyber issues. How these agencies all talk to each other is unclear. We have a National Cybersecurity Coordinator set up under the National Security Council Secretariat, an officer who reports to National Security Advisor Ajit Doval. But again, that office's responsibility with these different agencies across the union government and state governments is not fully clear. You need such discussions in cybersecurity policy as well. That's one reason why in the United Kingdom, they updated their cybersecurity strategy a few years ago to make it clear that the ultimate responsibility for cybersecurity incidents and policymaking fell to a committee formed under the UK cabinet headed by the Prime Minister, and that there was a UK National Cybersecurity Center run there by the UK's intelligence service, the GCHQ, the technical intelligence service, the technical surveillance group, who would be overall in charge of matters. And in a crisis, that committee and that group would take action. We don't have the clarity in India at the moment. And this is more unclear given that the Indian military is also developing cyber units and cyber capabilities. It's not clear whether those are purely defensive or offensive and how the military cyber capabilities would work in turn with the civilian cybersecurity infrastructure we see. And I'll give you one example. If today a major telecom company came under cyber attack, let's say Bharti Airtel or Vodafone, or Jio came under a massive cyber attack. The people they'd have to speak to, I could easily tell you that they'd have to talk to five people simultaneously. They would have to tell the computer emergency response team in Delhi what's going on. They'd have to tell the National Critical Information Protection Center as well. They may also have to tell the computer emergency response team set up by the Department of Telecom, but I don't know if there's actually any personnel on that. It has money and budget in the union budget, but we don't know if it actually functions. They probably also would have to simultaneously tell the Mumbai police, the Maharashtra Cyber Police, as well as perhaps the Delhi police, and perhaps also talk to the Ministry of Defense or to the Indian Army or to other units like that. And so you can imagine what we have is a plethora of agencies, but a lack of strategy, a lack of coordination, and a lack of, I would say, public assurance that if something happens, you know who to go to and that you're receiving proactive cyber guidance. And I'll leave you with one more example. You talked about the attacks targeting vaccine manufacturers and others in India. In other countries, you saw proactive statements and guidance issued by their cybersecurity agencies to public health agencies, both privately and publicly, saying, at this moment, we are seeing increased cyber attacks targeting vaccines and health service providers. These are the measures you should follow, but also you can talk to us. In India, you've seen no such public notifications. You've seen some very basic guidance from the computer emergency response team. And you've heard anecdotally that vaccine companies are talking to government actors in cybersecurity. But if you're not one of these big vaccine companies who has received a call from New Delhi or from Bombay, you actually don't know who to talk to. And that sort of public messaging on what is happening, but that you can talk to people and the government is not after you, but the government is there to help you and protect you, is what we need in India at this moment.
After reports of the Chinese breach, the government is currently working on strategies to strengthen cybersecurity. Can you tell us anything else about this? Is there any information you have regarding this?
It's important that the government prioritize is that it actually needs to further consult and make public its refreshed cybersecurity strategy. The Indian government's last clear cybersecurity policy document saying who does what and what are the priorities of the government was a document issued during the UPI administration that's considerably out of date. And to the government's credit, in 2019-2020, they said that they would create a refreshed cybersecurity strategy document. They even put out a call for inputs. The National Security Council Secretariat created a website where people could share the inputs. That group privately met industry and actors to take further developments and said it would create a cybersecurity strategy. And then the pandemic happened. That got delayed. And that is perhaps natural. But what is concerning was that the focus of the strategy seemed to be very granular. For example, they said that, one reason why we're delaying the strategy document is because we want a section on work from home to be part of the strategy document. And that's perhaps not the sort of granular stuff that needs to be there in the strategy document. What you actually need to make clear is how much money is being put into the sector, what legal mechanisms are there or will be changed, what agencies are in charge of what, and improve that coordination and governance of India's cybersecurity. It was such an important document that amongst the three announcements that Prime Minister Modi made in his Independence Day speech last year, this was one of them. And he said it would be ready in a few months. It is now March of the year following that. And we don't know where that cybersecurity strategy document is. Perhaps now they're further retooling it after the China situation. But that just shows that we need urgent public discussion and conversation around that cybersecurity strategy document. It needs to have clear contents on what measures are we taking and who's in charge of what. And you need that out sooner rather than later. And you do need it to be public, because in a democracy, public documentation around your strategy and governance is critical, because it pulls in actors, including actors outside of government, like the private sector. It lets them know what they're supposed to do, even if they're not part of a closed committee room or part of a government, say, mailing list on what's happening. And it helps build trust and confidence. And that's very important in India right now, because with the increasingly political push towards digital authoritarian tools when it comes to internet content, internet speech, and surveillance, there's actually distrust of government actors across technologists, cybersecurity professionals, and others. And that's why the Indian government needs to make clear that its cybersecurity strategy and its measures are meant to help advance national cybersecurity to protect all Indians. And it is not an excuse to use national security to undermine human rights or to, replace Chinese, say, snooping or Chinese government snooping on Indian systems with Indian government snooping on private citizens.
Right. So if you were basically in charge of India's cybersecurity, what are the things that you would do to make sure that the cybersecurity that we have is strengthened and protected?
that's a ambitious, hard position to hold. So I have no desires to hold that, at least right now. But I note that it's very important there to have that strategy and synergy. You need to know which agencies are in charge of which. Even having them all part of one clear coordination committee on cybersecurity and having clarity on who this reports to is something you need. And I would say that, in fact, you need clear ministerial accountability. There needs to be a senior political figure, perhaps even somebody reporting to the prime minister, or indeed, you know, a committee chaired by the prime minister himself, that is in charge of overall cybersecurity coordination and response behavior. Because in India, you do need senior politicians or senior civil servants to be in charge of matters to give it clarity and to remove bureaucratic infighting sometimes. You want a clear published cybersecurity strategy that perhaps even indeed is blessed by parliament. It should be reviewed by MPs and it should have cross-party support, because you must make sure that cybersecurity is not a political issue. So whether it is the BJP, whether it is the Congress, whether it's the Trinamool Congress, whether it is the EIA, DMK or the DMK, you need major political parties to buy in, at least to the overall contours of that, the desire, the needs for funding you may have there, as well as how human rights and other measures are protected. I would also invest significantly in India having greater, clear global leadership in cybersecurity. And what that means is that the Ministry of External Affairs should be part of these internal cybersecurity conversations and should represent India externally on this more effectively. You need a cyber desk at the Ministry of External Affairs that is not two or three officers. That, in fact, should be, which is what it is today, unfortunately, but something that has perhaps, you know, the 20, 30 experts or others that you see other major democracies have. Technical experts, as well as civil servants, diplomats, economic experts, as well as people who can, you know, craft the communications on these important issues. You need a senior set of Indian cyber ambassadors, at least one cyber ambassador who could represent India consistently on this globally. So these are some of the measures you need. And more importantly, you need to involve Indian technologists, whether they're independent technologists, you know, the sort of hacking expertise we have in the cybersecurity industry, but also from civil society. You need academics there, and you need to tap the human resources pool in Indian cybersecurity to protect India's overall, you know, networks and our cyber infrastructure. But I'll leave this with you. Many people I know in the cyber industry or cyber sector in India say, it is so hard for us to work with the Indian government or to get them to listen to us or follow up on what we say and what we send, that frankly, we sometimes share information with them out of patriotic duty or desire to help. We sometimes get harassed when we do that because we are accused of hacking or other measures ourselves. And we often don't get incentives or other benefits. So frankly, we devote our time helping clients overseas or even other governments overseas versus helping Indian actors in India and our own government, because at the very least, it's not very productive and demoralizing. And at the worst, we are sometimes persecuted and harassed. And that's why you also need a legal framework that doesn't over-criminalize cybersecurity professionals and hackers and digital security experts in India. You need to make sure that you're not trying to police and harass the very same people whose expertise you do need.
So lastly, how crucial would you say is the data protection bill for cybersecurity?
The data protection bill is actually critical for cybersecurity. And unfortunately, sometimes there's been a tendency in India to say data protection and cybersecurity or national security in cyberspace issues are somehow in conflict. They aren't. It's very important to understand this. For example, the United Kingdom, a country with a legal tradition very similar to ours and perhaps even a slightly more conservative national security establishment, they say the data protection helps advance cybersecurity measures. For example, having a data breach requirement in your data protection law, which says that if a data breach happens, you must inform the data protection authority, that it is critical for cybersecurity as well. And these agencies work complementary to each other. And having data protection legal requirements to keep minimal amounts of data to use good technical measures to secure and protect it, in turn help better cybersecurity because you have less insecure data that could be the target of a cyber attack or cyber incident. And very importantly in India, and I think this is very, very crucial, we need a data protection law along with more privacy legal measures, including reforms on government surveillance, so that cybersecurity is not used as an excuse for mass surveillance. And that's very important because A, mass surveillance actually makes us more insecure. When you have vulnerabilities in encryption, you build backdoors to allow for government surveillance. Those same backdoors and vulnerabilities can be used by other governments and other bad actors. And you've seen that happen. It's not academic. This has happened in the United States. It's happened in other countries as well. And more importantly, when you have large government powers for government surveillance, and you see government cybersecurity agencies more for political control and more for surveillance, you actually don't get cooperation from actors in the private sector or from civil society or individual users. They see their government cybersecurity agency as a threat to them, not as a friendly voice they can talk to. And that is incredibly harmful for improving India's cybersecurity.
Thank you for your valuable insights and for your time.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting our contributing page on our website, sunoindia.in, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thank you.